welcome to the Audrey McGuckin Leadership Podcast. This podcast is dedicated to providing helpful insights from some of the industry's best and most respected leaders. Our podcasts are designed to provide you with strategies, tactics, and mindsets to leverage your most valuable asset, your people. You know, one of the areas that we are particularly passionate about as a firm is the impact that great leadership can have across organizations, all the way from individual employees to customers to bottom line. And specifically, we have an interest in women leaders who have progressed into senior leadership roles. And Lindsay, I was fortunate enough to be introduced to you as the CEO of an organization called Wealthy. And I was immediately inspired and wanted to create a platform for you to tell your story as a way of inspiring other women leaders who are looking to progress their career or have an impact. And Lindsay, your story has such relevance for today in this environment that we find ourselves in. And so without further ado, I'd love to pass the microphone to you and share with us your story and specifically around Wealthy and how did it come to be?
Sure. Well, Audrey, thank you so much for having me on. I'm so honored that you wanted to hear the story and share it with your listeners. So I'll start with the mission. So Wealthy's mission is that we've set out to help the 66 million Americans who take care of aging, chronically ill, or disabled loved ones. So could be a parent with dementia or Alzheimer's or a child with autism or a spouse or a sibling with cancer or Parkinson's. And the issue is the same, which is that it's enormously difficult for families to manage care. And I know personally how difficult it is. The founding story of the business is based on a personal story of mine, which is that I got involved in my mom's care when I was a kid. And she got diagnosed with primary progressive multiple sclerosis when I was 9, MS, if you know MS. And I was involved in her care as her family caregiver, as her daughter, for 28 years. And it was the single hardest and loneliest, most stressful thing that I've done in my life and took on a lot of different forms over the years. I moved home after college and lived at home and got mom up in the morning and on and off the toilet and helped her with breakfast and would get her dressed and go into the office and come home to help her with lunch and go back into the office and help her in the evenings. And I did that for years and then set up more support and infrastructure as I got older. And we went through hospitalizations and surgeries and special treatments. And then the last year and a half of her life, she was on hospice. But the eye-opening thing for me over those years was just, you know, for so many of my caregiving years, it was this secret double life, this other second job that I barely told anyone about. And the eye-opening thing for me was meeting more and more people who were going through their own version of my story. And I just became personally compelled to create a better healthcare experience for families like my own. My mom passed away about 3 years ago, and I just can so feel for families who have loved ones who are aging or immunocompromised relatives through COVID, because as scary as COVID is for healthy individuals, it's just a nightmare for families with complex care and the fear and stress and anxiety and just the sheer kind of day-to-day logistics to keep loved ones safe and alive is just an enormous feat by families right now. And so more than ever, I think the topic is so critical.
No, I love that, Lindsay. And thanks for being so vulnerable and sharing your story and, you know, some of the history around Wealthy. I know that our listeners will for sure appreciate that. You know, Lindsay, you and I had some great conversation about, we call it empathy, or sometimes we'll use the term human-centered. Mm-hmm. And when we connect that to leadership and we connect that to organizational performance and outcomes, I'd love just to hear your views on what have you found and what have you seen as you've worked with organizations providing this service to some of their caregivers.
Yeah, it's a great point, Audrey. So Wealthy sells into companies and employers, companies provide Wealthy as an employee benefit for their employees who are dealing with complex care, chronic care, aging related care within their family. And it's just a win-win for the organization and for the employees. But what we see is that these individuals who are receiving support with their family care needs, I've noticed that, you know, if you're an organization, you help employees with their own needs, employees are grateful. That's wonderful. If you help an employee with their family related needs, it's unforgettable. Employees will never forget it. They'll be so grateful. There's something about treating employees with, to your point, such empathy, seeing them as their whole person, not just the work that they do, not just as kind of a cog in the wheel, but this individual who brings with them into the workplace every day the stress and frustrations and fears of very real situations that they're handling at home. And so the companies that help employees and address that, it just pays itself back in spades.
Yeah, I know, it's huge. I just finished recording a podcast with one of our clients. He's the CEO of an electronics manufacturing services provider. His name's Don Sharon. And Don and I talked about, actually, it was just before we got on the podcast, we talked about how the investment that he made quite a number of years ago in his people and more broadly in their families is paying dividends today. You know, those are the employees that will go above and beyond. Those are the employees that will go the extra mile, that you will get that discretionary effort. And that has a real dollar value to it for organizations.
It does. It does. I think we're seeing that we're in an era in which companies are really treating and viewing their employees as assets. You know, just as you would take care of, you know, expensive machinery or whatever it may be, employers realize that their employees are their assets. And I think we'll continue to see this, you know, as automation and the future of work continues to develop, there still will be a place for leadership and empathy and thoughtfulness. And those are things that we can't automate. And so to let those attributes thrive and shine and treat people the way that you want them to treat your customers, I mean, it just is so full circle.
Yes, indeed. And, you know, what we're seeing, Lindsay, and a lot of the thought leaders that I spend time with, what we're seeing is that there is a high demand for these types of leadership capabilities, but they're in very short supply because it's not typically the leadership attributes that have been valued or reinforced. And there's some mystery around how do you develop empathy skills. And so I just love that connection. But I wanted to really just spend a couple of minutes exploring with you, Lindsay, this notion of 3% of women entrepreneurs get to $1 million in revenue, which is startling, really, right? And as a female CEO, Anna, as a female founder in that 3%, I'd love just to hear with you, you know, what's the journey been like for you, Lindsay, and growing your business, and what lessons have you learned along the way?
Well, Audrey, you mentioned the term grit before we got on the podcast, and I think that's probably the most critical attribute. Yeah, I mean, growing a business, I think starting a business and growing a business, being CEO, being a leader, seems really glamorous. And it can be, certainly. But it's also just pure effort, relentless, daily, uncomfortable, sometimes not enjoyable effort. And effort that can go often unnoticed, effort that will fail, right? So being really comfortable with rejection and failure is sort of part of it. So yeah, our journey has been, we started the business in 2015. We really started supporting families directly. We were direct to consumer and started selling into employers in 2017. And then we're able to surpass the $1 million revenue mark. And we're very proud that we have top employers who trust us to support their employees. But yeah, I mean, I think I've gotten probably more wrong than I've gotten right. But I think feeling very comfortable with failing and learning from failure has been a pretty critical part of our journey. And so, yeah, I mean, for any aspiring female founders out there, I would encourage them to get out there and do it and just be very prepared to fail a lot. And that's okay. And through those failures that you learn and get better and stronger.
Yeah, I know. And, you know, as we think about developing women leaders, often the starting point that I'll have with organizations is talent can be found in the most unusual places. And so, you know, don't always rely on your well laid out plan and your well laid out foundation, but really pause and really search and find ways to uncover that hidden potential in your organization. And so that's one thing that I offer up. The other thing that I think in terms of developing women leaders, Lindsay, and I don't know if this has been your experience, but it's really about having sponsors along the way. And sponsors are different to mentors. Mentors are perhaps people that are offering advice, but sponsors are those leaders that will be your advocate on your behalf when you're not there. I'm not sure if that's something you've experienced, Lindsay.
Well, it's something I've experienced in my own career for sure, and also something that I try to do for the women executives on my team is really to find opportunities to promote them, push them, develop them, challenge them. I find that women, this is an overgeneralization, but women can suffer more than men with a lack of leadership confidence and will feel like they're not ready for, you know, a big opportunity, whether it's a career advancement or engagement, something that feels like it's putting yourself out there and really big. Women are more likely to say, and this is in the data, women are more likely to say, I'm not quite ready, versus men who will say, I'm ready, I can figure it out, right? And so what I try to look for with my own team and what I've seen with myself, you know, I bought the domain name wealthy.com in 2009 and didn't start working on the business till 2014. It took me 5 years to get up my nerve because I thought I wasn't ready. And so what I try to do is, it's just kind of the personal thing that I've seen as my kind of setback for me. So I try to identify it in some of the women on my team. And even if they feel like they're not ready for a big opportunity, I'll try to push them and encourage them. And we have some women leaders on our team who are extraordinary. But to your point, you know, really might not have otherwise kind of raised their hand and said, I'm ready for this big next role or I'm ready for this next opportunity. So I love being able to kind of challenge and advance the women in my life. Yeah. Like I was.
So Lindsay, you said you bought your domain name 5 years before you started your business because you didn't feel you were quite ready. What was the trigger? What made you feel like I'm ready?
You know what the moment was is I went to work for an incredible serial successful entrepreneur, a guy by the name of Dave Morgan, and he had started and sold multiple companies. And I went to work for him almost as an apprenticeship. I wanted to see what it looked like to be a successful CEO. And I went to work for him. I ran marketing for him, and then I would run the executive team meetings and really became kind of a close partner of his. And I know he valued my involvement. I certainly valued the experience, but it was one day when I was watwatching him run a team meeting or run a company meeting. And I thought to myself, I can do what he's doing. And I might even be able to do it a little bit better than he's doing it. That was my moment. And I love Dave. So nothing against Dave. He's incredible. But that was my moment of realizing that I was finally ready. But to be honest with you, Audrey, I was ready years before that. I just needed that confidence boost.
Yeah. And I think that's right. And what we often see in organizations, Lindsay, is that these sponsors can often unlock some of the things that are holding female leaders back. And so anytime we're doing work with developing leaders, women leaders, we never, ever just work on the women leaders as a cohort. We always work with the whole organization because it takes a system and it takes, right?
Yep.
And so the other question I had for you, Lindsay, is, you know, as you think about where you are now and how successful you are, is there one or two pieces of advice that you would have for your younger self? Or is there one or two pieces of advice that you would have for other women leaders, be it in a CEO founder situation or in a large multinational organization?
I think, Audrey, well, nice of you to say that I'm successful. I think I still feel like we have a long road ahead and a ton of work to do. But one of the things that I would recommend to aspiring female leaders, female founders, any leaders or founders is I've benefited enormously from having some early sales experience. When I got out of college, I joined, at the time, still one of my favorite magazines, a magazine called The Atlantic. And I worked in a very administrative role to start. And then a role opened up on the sales team. And so I was selling pages of the magazine to large corporations and had a very proper sales training, really great sales organization and leadership. And so I learned to sell. And I have to say, you know, as a CEO and as a founder, those sales skills come in to play every day. I am selling ideas to the team. I'm selling, whether it's to investors, new customers, board members, board advisors. So, and the mindset of being able to adjust the story to the audience and try to hone in on the personality and what they might want to hear. It's a skill that I value so much and I think is underrated. So I would encourage everyone to get sales training, if for no other reason, to just know how to convey messaging to team members if you're in a leadership role.
Right. And to be able to sell yourself, right?
Sell yourself.
Yeah.
That's right. That's right.
As a woman leader, how can you advocate? How can you advocate for yourself? How can you influence? And how can you believe that you're ready? Yeah.
Love that.
Lindsay, thank you for taking the time to share your perspective and your incredible insights and the work you're doing. Gosh, it's just so impactful in this moment that we're in right now. And I'm sure that many, many families are benefiting from it. So thank you, Lindsay, for joining us. And thanks, everyone, for listening to this episode of the Audrey McGuckin Leadership Podcast. Look for a new episode next month. And to learn more about the work we do in the space of leadership, you can visit us at www.audreymcguckin.com.